You can't delegate digital transformation for your company. You and your executives have to own it. Executives need to engage, embrace, and adopt new ways of working with the latest in emerging technologies. And that's where we come in. Welcome to Embracing Change. The business world is changing at a faster pace than it ever has, and companies need to keep up. We interview the most interesting CEOs, CMOs, and other executives to talk about their challenges with digital transformation in their industry. This is Embracing Change, and this is your host, Gerardo Carrick.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our fireside chat with Kevin Hallinan, selling effectively in a remote world. Thanks everybody for connecting. As an intro to these chats, as you know, we've put together these quick fireside chats with experts in different elements of marketing, sales, etc., to try to bring together different perspectives on how to continue business development and actually businesses in general during the COVID-19 crisis. I've said it a couple of times before, we're not politicians or health experts. There's not many things we can do at the macro level, but at the micro level, we can actually help just putting together our thoughts and experiences to the benefit of our immediate communities. So that's the reason for these conversations. And today I'm very happy to have with me Kevin Hallinan, which it's a sales trainer. He is a top producer. He's a principal of Winning Inc. And has over 30 years of sales and training experience. He has done sales for all of his life. He's a frequent featured speaker at numerous business events. He has a fantastic podcast. Anyway, I'm gonna let Kevin introduce himself. Hi, Kevin. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Where are you connecting from today?
I'm in Boston. That's my home office. We work remotely most of the time in our business anyway, but I'm in my home office in Roslindale, which is a neighborhood of Boston, Massachusetts.
That's fantastic. And I trust you're staying safe and that you're staying at home.
Yes. Almost exclusively. A couple trips to the grocery store, that sort of thing. Gas.
Fantastic, Kevin. Well, thank you very much for accepting to have this fireside chat with me.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Excellent, Kevin. So tell us, why don't you do a quick introduction about yourself to the audience and a little bit about what you do before we start talking about the topic specifically?
Perfect. So what I always tell people when they ask what I do, I say, I'm part of the Sandler training universe. And Sandler is the... We're now happy to say the worldwide sales training methodology. We're in large companies, small companies. We work with solopreneurs. We work with non-selling professionals who are CPAs and attorneys, people that are expert in something. They're just not salespeople, but they need to learn effective selling and business development. And the tagline that I've been using for the last year and a half or two is that we develop sales teams into high achievers and sales leaders into true coaches and mentors. Mm-hmm. So that's my
brief. Your background.
Yes.
So what does that mean in a world where, and I'm just going to go straight into
sure.
it. What does that mean in a world where we can't meet with people and we cannot see people, closer to two 6 feet?
Right. So I'll give you an example. Most, if not all of, well, the vast majority of the training that I do is in person. We call it stand-up training, where I'm in front of a sales team, mm-hmm. large or small. It's ongoing. And in this environment, all but one client, and that client is soon to probably do the same, has moved to remote. So we use, like the whole world, we use Zoom because it's easy. We've always used Zoom. I've used a couple technologies in the past. There are a lot of good ones. We've chosen to use Zoom. Just so happens everybody else has now chosen to use Zoom. That's great. Mm-hmm. And instead of having in-person training, mm-hmm. with the exception of one client, I'm sure I'll get into this in a bit, We're continuing training, but it's now remote. So instead of me being in front of a room full of 20 people, or in some cases, five people, right? We're doing a joint, full duplex, full video and audio Zoom training. We're able to still maintain interaction. We can still do exercises. We still do role plays. So for us, that's what it looks like right now. And I do some coaching as well. So for example, tomorrow afternoon, I've got a coaching call with a client, with a salesperson at a large client. We're going to help, I'm going to help her refine some goals and behaviors and that sort of thing. And I do a fair amount of that as well. And all of that lately has been Zoom. Even if I could call someone on a phone call, it's kind of more fun to connect with someone face to face, and Zoom is the method now. So,
of course, of course. You know, that's a business that is growing.
For sure.
I was just gonna say that the other day, I've been using Zoom for a while, but the other day I had an issue with a video that I was trying to upload, right? And I couldn't fix it myself. So I went into their chat. They have a little chat bot where you can actually queue for a troubleshooting to speak to a live agent. And I was in position 483. So,
wow.
Which, you know, that tells you a little bit about the demand that business is getting right now. So
yeah, they're hiring.
They're hiring. Of course. Of course. So how are your clients being affected by the COVID-19 crisis?
It's a wide range of effects. I've got one that's on the front lines of healthcare. They describe themselves as an on-demand healthcare staffing firm. It's a company called IntelliCare. They happen to be in Massachusetts, but they're in many markets across the country. They are really booming because the people that they place are nurses, very specific nurses into skilled nursing facilities, post-acute care. So they're cranking. I mean, there are companies that are benefiting. There are companies that are, deadly affected, right? Hopefully I'm wrong, but I think I'm right that a number of retailers will be gone, right? Probably a number of restaurants are not going to survive. That's lousy. But I've got on the other end of the spectrum, so this company IntelliCare is cranking. People in financial services are still doing well. The companies that are doing poorly are the ones that are providing service to industries that are affected. So I've got a client that, based upon the nature of their business, they sell into certain clinics and they do medical billing. And because it's not urgent care, their clients are greatly affected. So they are greatly affected.
Okay. Of course, there's winners and losers, but unfortunately in this case, there's more losers than winners. I would imagine. Just going back to your experience of what you're seeing with your clients, how could clients adapt and respond to this challenge? And obviously thinking specifically about your expertise, which is, sales and business development. I'm sure there's a lot of people. I have a neighbor I was talking to, with social distancing during the weekend. I went out to walk, and she's in sales, and she was telling me that at her company they've totally canceled all quotas, right? So she had quotas to meet for second quarter. Those quotas were totally canceled and phased out to quarter three.
Right.
But she still needed to deliver, even though it wasn't measured by the quota.
Right.
That's how she makes a living, right?
Right.
What advice do you give people who are trying to sell and do business development for the companies?
Yeah, I've got a few specific things. So
okay, let's go.
I'm gonna back up a little bit
because
I want to talk about mindsets for a second, if that's okay.
Let's do that.
Right. So it's really easy, I believe, and from my experience, to develop a negative mindset in times like this, right? Times like this, we haven't seen a time like this, right? In when was the last time something like this happened? Neither of us was alive.
Not in our lifetime.
Pearl Harbor, but what happened at Pearl Harbor, did the world come to a screeching halt like this? 9/11, we saw what happened with 9/11, but business didn't it wasn't this abrupt a business stop, right?
No.
It was a couple of weeks of no air flying, and you know, the business was still happening to some degree. There was a lot less travel, but mindsets, when something like this happens, it's easy to say, well, I can't sell anything, or the economy is just, you know, in the crapper, which, you know, I know indicators would say that it's largely affected, and you could even say it's in the crapper, but I don't have a crystal ball. I'm not in financial services, but I think it's going to bounce back. It'll take some time, but, you know, Americans, not only Americans, but Americans in particular are resourceful and resilient, right? So we've seen that for years. So I think that over time, we're going to be fine. Again, not a crystal ball, just my...
Your gut feeling. Yeah, of course. I mean, we're...
Right? So the mindsets that I'm encouraging people to develop are things like, my clients need me now more than they ever did. Now, that may not mean revenue opportunities, but how do our clients need us? They need us as a resource, right? I've got only one client at the moment that has said we need to put a screeching halt to sales training. And so there's a zero revenue opportunity for me, but what I said is, hey, I want to be a resource. If you need me for anything, if you need coaching for somebody, if you need, so I'm anything, right? I heard an example last night of a prospect and sales experience, interaction where as it came down to it, and it was a very thoughtful, understanding conversation by the salesperson. The salesperson, again, being thoughtful, said, all right, so if I'm hearing you clearly, the only reason we're not moving forward is because you don't have the revenue right now. And they said, yes, we would love to hire you right now, blah, blah, blah. And the guy said, let's start. I mean, I'll do as much as I can right now. Let's start. And I'll worry about getting paid later.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So those are some of the things. That's a mindset right there. Right.
And how do you change that mindset? How do you get into that positive mindset? You know, what can you do?
All right. Without sounding too esoteric, we believe in the power of affirmations. So most of my clients on a daily basis write down certain statements. It's like a 5-minute, okay, if you exercise in the morning or at night, it's really a mental exercise.
Yeah.
5 minutes in the morning of writing down things like, my clients need me more now more than ever. Here's another one. I'm not a bother, I'm a resource. So, you know, salespeople in good times can feel like a pest when we're persisting and making dials, making outreaches of emails or going to network events. I think right now we write down on a daily basis things that empower us.
Yeah.
You know, good things happen to me all the time. The economy is strong. Now, you could say, Kevin, you're an idiot. All right, fair enough. I've been called worse. But if I'm affirming myself with positive beliefs, it's going to impact my performance. There are lots of examples of that. You can just Google anytime.
No, that's fascinating. I was my wife actually shared with me a video from this actor from Liar Liar. I forgot his name right now.
Jim Carrey?
Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
And he was talking about what the power of affirmations has done to him, right? So at some point in his career, when he wasn't being able to achieve what he wanted to achieve, somebody introduced him to the power of affirmations, and he started doing that. And one of the first things he did was he wrote a check to himself for $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
He put in the memo of that check for, you know, income for movies produced on, you know, blah, 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 right? And he put it for a date. He put it for, I don't know, 1st of November, you know, and the year.
Yes.
And he actually got a role that paid him the $10 million within a month of that day that he put on that check.
Wow.
And it's not about being esoteric in the sense that that's not the way I took it, right?
Right.
But to me, it was the power of visualization, right?
Correct.
It's the fact of, if this is something I want to achieve and I put it out there, now that I put it out there, I have something to work against, you know, to try to achieve that, right? It makes it real in a way. So
I may have the reference wrong, so forgive me, everybody, but I believe it was Napoleon Hill that said, if you can conceive it and believe it, you can achieve it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, others like Brian Tracy and Zig Ziglar. And I, again, I may be misattributing that quote, so I apologize.
Okay.
But any of these, any of these gurus that are really good at helping people accomplish more than they could ever accomplish on their own have similar mindsets.
That's interesting.
So there's got to be something to it, right?
To it. Absolutely. Okay. So that's tip number one.
So mindset. Okay, so I have a couple of very practical things.
Okay.
We're all, or, you know, almost everyone is working at home remotely. Mm-hmm. So what I want to suggest to people is that you're disciplined. In other words, just like you would if you go to work, get up, get showered, get shaved. If you're a man, get cleaned up, right? Whatever you do to get ready for work, do that. I happen to be in more casual clothes today, but I've showered, I've shaved, I've eaten breakfast, fed the dog. The dog's been out. And now I'm in my workspace. I have a workspace. If you don't have a home office, designate somewhere that is a workspace. It's the same thing we would say to kids if they're going to do homework. Find that, you know, that workspace.
Yeah.
So be in a workspace, be disciplined, and have hours, right? You may not work 8 to 5, 9 to 5, and, you know, you probably should, but even if you have some adjusted schedule, build in some breaks, take a lunch, and, you know, again, I've dressed more casually. I have L.L. Bean moccasins on today, which I wouldn't wear to work, but otherwise I'm ready to go. If you feel like you want to put on dress shoes and your work clothes to be ready, that'll help your mindset, do that. But get up and get ready and treat it as any other work day. And then again, set a good schedule. Give yourself some breaks. I've been on Zoom almost nonstop for the last, you know, 2-3 weeks, and it's tiring. So I have to get up and walk around. My normal work day is not sitting at a chair, right, in front of a computer. Although I do some of that, my normal work day is much more active. So I need to get up and walk around, stretch, take a walk. Yes, observe social distancing, but, you know, make yourself a cup of coffee. If you want to go to a drive-thru and grab a cup, go do that. You know, try to adhere to as normal a work day as you can. Okay. Next, I would say establish goals. So you said many companies, or at least one company that you know of, and I know of others, so I'd say a good number of them are suspending revenue quotas, right? Mm-hmm. Or results quotas. What they're not suspending is behavior. Behavior, okay. Activity. What's an activity? It's a dial. It's an email. It's a conversation. So I would ask that folks go back and revisit their goals. If you don't have goals in writing, I'm going to give to give my email address.
That's okay. Of course, I was going to plug you in at the end, but you can do it now. Sure.
Okay. This is not a shameless plug. This is if anybody wants.
Listen, I get it. I get it. You have tools that can help people listening to this podcast. So I like that.
Okay. So it's kevin.hallinan, HALLINAN. Those are both N's like November, @sandler.com. If you email me and ask me about goals, I'm going to send you some worksheets. Okay. Those worksheets can help you determine a set of goals. That's all it is. All right.
And Kevin, why don't you if you send me those worksheets too, when I publish this podcast, I'll add them there too.
Good. Sounds good. I will do so.
Thank you.
Because we all need to know what we're trying to accomplish. So yes, the goals have probably changed in some cases dramatically in terms of result, but you can still focus on an adjusted set of 12, 31, 20 goals, right? What do I want to accomplish? What do I believe I need to adjust my accomplishments to? And we always suggest personal as well as professional goals. And then once we've done that, that's probably an hour's worth of work. Now we need to focus on the actual behavior goals I should establish. Behavior being, what's my activity?
Okay.
On a daily, weekly, monthly basis.
Okay. Okay. So let's just go a little bit deeper on the goal. So give us an example of how the goals could look like for somebody.
So our advice is some 3-month goals, 6-month goals, and 12-month goals.
Okay.
So although, you know, you may not follow that exactly, that's just a guideline. Then within those, both personal and professional. A personal goal is to pay off a certain debt. this is in good times, in normal times, right? Pay off a certain debt, take flying lessons, take the trip with the family. Goals right now might be fitness related, less financial, right? If your income is affected, then maybe your personal financial goals have been adjusted. You know, a lot of the people I'm talking with, I'm a coordinator for Financial Peace University, which is Dave Ramsey's personal financial, how would you describe it? It's a program to help people get in control of their personal finances. And one of those, the first thing you do is, he calls them baby steps, put $1,000 in cash away. Second thing is get out of debt. And there's a structure for that. I won't get into it, but right now the advice is, okay, you may have to stop paying your debt down. So you can suspend that, and that money can, you can be used to replace some of your lost income. So the goal, personal goals may be adjusted, certainly, right? But a fitness goal is a good personal goal. How can you do that without a gym? You can get out and walk. You can do sit-ups at home. You can do push-ups at home, squats, lunges, right? All body weight stuff, even if you don't have weights at home. Professional goals. Develop, let's say, let's call it a month. You know, let's say it's an April goal, right? We're almost at April.
Yeah, we are.
Three new meaningful contacts, right? Build my pipeline by X dollars. Now, someone would say, well, Kevin, how do I build a pipeline when nobody's doing business? They're going to be doing business eventually. So a pipeline, for you know, what most people know is a pipeline is a list or a tracking, whether it's a spreadsheet or it's Salesforce or anywhere in between, right? It's a compilation of prospective clients. Some of those are never going to close. Some of those will close over time. Some of those will close now. Some of those will close as times improve. But if I'm trying to close $1,000 of revenue in a week, I can't have a pipeline equal to 1,000 because I'm likely not going to close 100%, right? So 3 to 5X.
3 to 5X is a recommendation?
Well, we usually say 5 to 6X, but I'm going to go with 3 to 5X for right now. Say 3 to 5X. So that means, let's say I can find three prospects that are worth $1,000 in revenue to me, just round numbers for argument's sake, right? I may close one of the three, right? So right now it's really about outreach. It's really about, and that'll lead into my behavior point here, but the goal should be something substantive like three new contacts, three new clients, or three new client prospective client conversations, right? Being realistic that we may not close. I think it's fair to say we're not going to close as much business today as we would have a few weeks ago, or maybe for the next several.
You know, but the point you're making is actually very interesting, which is, and you know, and I've been doing business development, you know, for for the last few years as I have my own agency, and one of the things that I've learned very quickly was that you have to prospect today. If you're not selling today, it's because you didn't prospect yesterday, right? Perfect. So in a way, it's true that, you know, business might have dried up in the short term, but if you want to be ready by the time when the economy is back, this is the time to be prospecting. This is the time to be there for your clients. This is the time to be having those conversations, because if you wait until the economy gets back, it could take you 2, 3, 4, depending on your business.
Yes.
It could take you, you know, a while until you plant those seeds again and they start sprouting. Right.
And for me, right. I totally agree. For many people, we have, you know, if you have a ton of work, don't get mad at me, but for many people, there is less to do right now. So why not be engaged in outreach? Right. Anytime you're working from home and you're in business development or sales, which is probably most of the audience, and you don't know what to do, call someone, email someone. And I would always default to the phone, but you know, I'll argue that we can use emails as well, but a phone call is a much better approach. And why not turn that phone call into a Zoom meeting?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we talked about outreach, And you were going to follow up that with behavior, I think, or?
Yes. So what does my, so next I will, and that's one of the worksheets I'll send to anyone that wants as well. What does my behavior, again, that term is not the psychological term, but the term mm-hmm. that means activities. Mm-hmm. What does that need to look like to accomplish, say, a pipeline build or any particular goal? Mm-hmm. So if my goal is a weight loss or body fat reduction or muscle mass increase, if it's a personal goal, how many of what exercises do I need to do to accomplish that? We can figure that out online, or you know that, right?
Yep.
If it's a business development or selling goal, what do I need to do to develop a pipeline of 3 to 5x my expectation or my goal? Behavior. Mm-hmm. Behavior is activity. So it's typically dials to whom? New prospects, existing prospects, clients. Now is a good time, believe it or not. There's a belief area, right? Believe it or not, to generate referrals. Now, these referrals, again, may not do business with you now, but they, as you said, can be someone perhaps that we can do business with later. What better time than now to develop that relationship?
Yeah.
So there's one thing that follows behavior, and I'll get to that in a moment, but I can put together for myself, you know, if I'm any salesperson, I can make a reasonable estimate of the amount of behaviors or activities that I need to engage in today, mm-hmm. this week, and this month. It'll be April soon, of course, but mm-hmm. So for the month of April, what do I need to do for behaviors? And I can break that down weekly and daily.
Okay.
Again, numbers of emails, numbers of dials. Mm-hmm. How about, and I know a lot of people, I've got one coming up, online networking. I know tons of organizations that are using Zoom and other tools for online networking, mm-hmm. right? I did one last week. 3 people, we sat for about 45 minutes just talking about kids and coronavirus and family and business. We just got to know each other better.
Yeah.
In the goal, you know, with the goal of helping each other understand our businesses better, ourselves better first, but our businesses better, so that we can introduce each other to our clients, prospects, mm-hmm. contacts. Mm-hmm. So once we've determined what that behavior needs to look like, here's the dirty word. Okay. The A word.
Okay.
Be accountable.
Accountable.
Okay. Right. Now, accountable could be to myself or it could be to someone else. And I would advise Walker McKay, if you're listening, of No BS Sales School, mm-hmm. What person in my life is somebody I trust, so I can share with them whatever I need to share, but also is strong enough to not put up with my excuses, to make sure if I say I'm going to do, I'll just say I'm going to do 20 outreaches today or 10 or 5 outreaches today. How do I prove to myself I did those? Number one, use whatever technology you use to track that. If you're using Salesforce or Sugar or anywhere in between or a spreadsheet mm-hmm. or a worksheet, do that. But ask someone in your life to hold you accountable so that you can report into them every couple of weeks or 3 months or 30 days.
Now, this point about accountability, it's so hard.
Yes.
It's so hard, right? Because you do these grand plans and you promise yourself you're going to go to the gym. Mm-hmm. Or you promise yourself you're going to make that call.
Yes.
Right? But then life happens, yes. right? And you're working from home and the kid cried, right? Mm-hmm. Or mm-hmm. you're working from home and, you know, you just got depressed because of the situation. You just heard that, you know, the last projection, and there's another 30 days, right? Yeah. It's right. So hard for some people, including myself, and I think I'm pretty good at being accountable of my actions, but you know, you have downs. So what do you recommend for people when, you know, they just go through that dip?
Yes. Here's the other thing. It's harder for some people depending on your personality and your style, but don't isolate. Yes, social distance and maybe we use technology and never touch another person, you know, for the foreseeable future, but don't isolate. Get on the phone with someone. Do a Zoom meeting with someone. Do you Skype someone? You know, Microsoft meeting.
Whatever you've got.
Plug me in, whatever you like.
FaceTime. Yeah.
FaceTime. talk to people, engage with people. Don't allow yourself to isolate because then you can spiral. And to my point, that accountability partner can be someone you speak with on a regular basis. If you want to talk to them on a weekly basis, do that. Whatever you need to do, listener, then do that. Because it's really easy to spiral into that. I don't necessarily want to say depression, but a form of it, if nothing else, is where we just listen to the news. I used to say this years ago, and I forgot until recently, but there was a doctor, a psychiatrist, who was, for his patients who were suffering from depression, he prescribed a news blackout. I remember reading the article, right? So if you're fixated on every detail of coronavirus, how about taking, how about unplugging for a while? Right? You can go into any major news site or any major news outlet, and you can, you know, in half an hour, you can know everything you need to know, right? All the changes. So, but in the meantime, how about turning that off for a while?
Yeah.
What are we putting into our minds?
Sure. Good.
So the accountability partner, or some people call it a accountability buddy, I've heard lately, right? Is someone who can help uplift us. So put it this way. If I pick another depressed person as my accountability partner, probably not the right thing.
Yeah, that's a good point. So it's interesting what you're talking about, choosing what goes into your minds, because for example, one of the things that I decided to start doing was to look into inspirational stories of people in extreme scenarios, right? And those are books that I've already read, but I'm starting to reread, like Viktor Frankl's Man in Search of Meaning, right? Yeah. Which he wrote while he was in Auschwitz. Well, he thought through while he was in Auschwitz, a prisoner. And The Long Walk to Freedom by Nelson Mandela, right?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, somebody that came out of a very difficult situation, and only by mere visualization, attitude, mindset, managed to turn around his own situation, right? So I'm choosing to read those.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in a way, they help me figure out that it's not as bad what we're going through, right? I mean, it is terrible. But you know, it's certainly something that it's not comparable, because we can still, you know, just by washing our hands, staying at home, manage to control it, right? So anyway, that's part of choosing what you allow to influence you at this time.
I've got two more examples.
Let's do.
People can go online and read about Admiral Stockdale, who was Ross Perot's running mate back in the day. And he was the senior POW. What do we call that? They're not allies, but I'll say American. He was the senior American POW, so he was responsible for morale. And I won't go into the whole story, but look up the Stockdale Paradox. It's about mindset, absolute mindset. The other example I'll give is the movie Unbroken, and I just I'm just looking it up right now. Oh, Louis Zamperini. Okay, it's the story of Louis Zamperini, who was taken prisoner by the Japanese in World War II, absolute unwavering resolve in spite of being tortured miserably.
Wow. Right?
Another example is the late, great Senator John McCain, what he went through and his persistence. So there are, that should be a movie someday, by the way.
Yeah.
But the movie Unbroken, everyone, you know, we're all binging right now. At least a lot of people are binge watching. Go watch Unbroken. It's okay. A very powerful story.
Okay. Excellent. Next.
All right. So now we get into some nitty gritty, right? The prospecting, what should it look like? It's different right now.
Mm-hmm.
We are, you know, the Sandler methodology never preaches the hard sell. So always never the hard sell. I know I just mixed two superlatives there, but right. But never the hard sell, especially right now. Let's just see what help we can be. So in reaching out to a prospective client, if there's an opportunity for revenue, certainly close that opportunity. But if there's not, let's just look for conversations. As we said, let's look to build a pipeline where we can close business you know, 2-3 weeks, 2-3 months down the road. Mm-hmm. So be understanding also is, mm-hmm. you know, if someone is, you know, if their business has been hurt tremendously, then you're probably not going to do business with them today, but be understanding. How can you help someone in the short term that will come back to you later, right? Mm-hmm. How can you help someone in the short term now that will help them later and position you to be that resource? So the nitty gritty is, yes, make the dials and look for revenue opportunities where they exist, but more than that, position yourself as being helpful. Now's a good time to call every client as well. Mm-hmm. How can you be helpful?
That's a good point. And when talking to every client and trying to be understanding, right? Mm-hmm. Any advice on how to handle, let's say, clients that are, you know, going through this process of thinking through, you know, they have to start cutting costs. They have to figure out how to continue paying payroll or paying the rent. Mm-hmm. And obviously, if you're not an essential element of their business, if you're more of an investment, you know, they're going to start putting you into that column, right? So how to handle that in a way that you're being understanding, right? So you understand their perspective and you understand, you know, where that comes from. How do you handle that conversation? And what options do you have?
So you and I are on, you know, we're on the front end, right?
Yeah.
Marketing from your perspective, selling from my perspective. And I know you sell, but the service that you deliver, mm-hmm. Are all about lead gen if you put it into a big bucket, right? Yep. And I'm all about, if I put myself in a big bucket, selling.
Yep.
So there's a mindset there, right? Historically, when economies soften, what do people pull back? Sales and marketing. Mm-hmm. What should they never pull back?
Sales and marketing, yeah.
Right? So you and I are preaching to the choir. We get that. So I think what we have to do is help people understand, as you described a few minutes ago, it's going to be another 2-3 week ramp up, 2-3 month ramp up, if I'm waiting to prospect until things change. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
It's the same with marketing. So it may not be, you know, the same budget, but it should not be zero. Mm-hmm. So we need to help people understand that mindset. And again, from a perspective of being a trusted advisor. A trusted advisor would not say, okay, I'll accept your decision. A trusted advisor should say, do you mind, you know, if I could use a little technique here for a second, do you mind if I challenge you a little bit? Mm-hmm. And I don't know of anyone that would say, yes, I mind, mm-hmm. right? And then ask some questions. For example, would it make sense that you don't want to be completely off of your client's radar right now, mm-hmm. right? So would you be open, for example, Mr. and Mrs. Customer, Mr. and Mrs. Customer, would you be open to my helping you maintain some visibility? It may not be the same program we've been doing, but if you don't mind my hard-fought year, you know, many year earned expertise, my advice to you would be, it would not be prudent to completely stop marketing.
Yeah.
Or it would not be prudent to lay off your sales team. Now, I don't know of anyone that's laying off a sales team, right? But
yeah. So I was in conversations last week with other agency owners, mm-hmm. like myself. Mm-hmm. And some of them were taking even the step of talking to clients and trying, obviously, to be very understanding and mm-hmm. very compassionate. Mm-hmm. As part of this process, because we have to help each other out. And some of those clients that were really struggling and were having to pull out of campaigns, they were offering them, listen, we will continue supporting you. And we'll figure out how you pay us when we're out of this, right? Right. You know, for as long as we can support you, you know, I still have the people, I still have the staff.
Right.
I can handle this for another couple of months without you paying me you know, your bills at the end of this process, if you're still in business and we help you stay in business, we'll figure out a payment plan or we'll figure out what to do.
Right. 100% agree.
You agree with that? Okay.
You know, if we're truly trusted advisors and if we truly aren't in it for ourselves, look, we're all trying to make a living, right? We're trying to make an income. So mm-hmm. to that, in that respect, it's about ourselves. But if we're really the people that most of us are or want to be helpful, right? Mm-hmm. As I said to that one person in medical billing, I'll help you any way you need right now.
Yeah.
So she was pretty adamant. She wanted to suspend the formal ongoing training, mm-hmm. but I'm still going to coach her people. I'm still going to be a resource. I'm still available. She should feel comfortable. And she does, emailing or calling me and setting up some calls. It doesn't matter. And if I never charge her for that, that's fine. And that's the agreement I made with her. But if for someone else, I would absolutely say there's one person I need to follow up with who emailed me over the weekend, who I'm going to say, keep training. We'll worry about it later because you need me right now and I want to help you.
Of course. And the argument there is, you know, if we are for our clients in this time of need, you know, what level of trust and bonding you're developing, right? Right.
I can tell you several examples of where, not even in a bad time like this, but maybe just a downturn for a particular company, where I just heard a story like 4 or 5 days ago where this type of help yielded revenue down the road, significant revenue down the road, because that person decided they were going to help without a revenue opportunity.
Fantastic. Okay, next step. How many have you got there?
Prospecting was it, and just the follow-up would follow from prospecting. But you know, once we're beginning prospecting, be consistent. My final thought, at least on that, is be consistent. Don't mm-hmm. jump into it's, you know, it's Monday, you know, I have vim and vigor today, I'm gonna make 10 dials or 50 dials or whatever's normal for you. Be consistent. Do the same tomorrow. Do the same Wednesday. Do the same Thursday. Do the same Friday. Mm-hmm. And prospecting is one of those things. I know you and I have talked about this in the past, but that most people don't like. Often I'm in a room, you know, full of 50 people, and I'll say, how many in the room like to prospect? And one or two people invariably will raise a hand. And
liars.
I'll have fun, and I'll say, you guys are weird. Now, I'm glad you heard, but it's not normal to like to prospect. So, yes, it feels like pushing a boulder uphill. But like anything, mm-hmm. it gets easier the more you do it. And again, one more thought, is take a little pressure off yourself right now. You're not trying necessarily to close business right now. You're trying to just have conversations.
That's great advice. And I think a lot of people, if you can change that mindset of where is revenue going to come from versus how can I be of help?
Yes.
How can I be reaching out to people to be a source of a support, a mm-hmm. trusted advisor? Mm-hmm. You know, how can I reach out to people to build a relationship? You know, I think that takes off a lot of that weight.
It does. I agree with
this. Yeah. And it makes it, you know, it makes it more human. It makes it more relevant. It makes it, you know, just like this chat, right? We're not mm-hmm. trying to close any sales here. We're not trying. This is not a webinar where we're wanting right. people to fill in a form and call us right. later. We're just trying to put together our minds and be of value, right? And hopefully by doing that, we're building our brands and eventually we will create more of a trusted relationship with people that listen to this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not dissimilar. Any thoughts on and I know we're getting to an end, but on the prospecting side, there's a lot of a lot of prospecting is cold calling, right?
Yes,
I think what we're doing here and let me know if I misunderstood. Right now we're not talking about cold calling. Right now we're talking about warm calling, calling all clients, contacts, etc.
I wouldn't exclude cold calling.
Okay.
You know, if somebody's been on your contact list before the coronavirus crisis, mm-hmm. they're still on it now, why not call them?
Okay.
But again, with perhaps a lower expectation, as we said, for just a conversation versus, you know, I want to sell you something. And by the way, no conversation should ever be, I want to sell you something. Mm-hmm. It should be a discussion of what challenges and problems they have relative to what you can do for them, and then position yourself to be helpful.
That's great. By the way, for everyone that is listening to this live, I know this is a weird time, so I'm not sure how many people are connected, but if you have any questions, just set them on the chat and we can answer them here. While we wait for any questions, Kevin, do you want us to just go back and do the list that you just described, very quickly, so if somebody connected later, into the call, so they just have all the points?
Yes. Number one, just a summary, right?
Summary.
Be disciplined, right? Start your work day as you would any other work day.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Number two, set a good schedule with some breaks, just like you would any other work day. It might be a shortened day, but nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
Three, establish goals. What are we trying to accomplish? Number four, establish behaviors or activities. What activities must I engage in? Number five, be accountable. Mm-hmm. At the very least, track my work, my behavior. At the very best, find an accountability partner who can help you track it.
Yep.
Six, mindsets. That probably should have been number one, arguably number one. Work on, develop positive mindsets.
Mm-hmm.
Practice journaling, that's what we call it, is a daily affirmation session of 3 to 5 minutes in the morning. And seven is prospecting. And prospecting, by the way, that's just do the work, but that could be communicating to existing clients.
Okay.
Loosely under the prospecting category, but nonetheless, reach out to existing clients, find out what help we could be.
Excellent. Very good, Kevin. This is really, really helpful and very, very timely advice. I really enjoyed this conversation. I think a lot of people will benefit from listening to this. I will be recording this and publishing it and sharing it with you. I hope a lot of people go through this because all of these behaviors and all of these activities that you described are going to be helpful, regardless of what industry you are, what size of business you are, if you're a solopreneur, if you're a large company. So thank you very much for your time. Any last minute thoughts before we close?
Yeah, again, if anybody wants to reach out for whatever reason, Kevin.Hallinan, Hallinan at Sandler.com, or the website is winninginc.sandler.com. And I don't mind giving my phone number out. It's 617-327-3950. That's a landline.
Very good. And, and reach out to Kevin. He's a fantastic coach. He's a fantastic sales trainer, but he's also a very, good guy, supportive guy. I had the luxury of working with Kevin, for the last few months. I have a number of people within my network that also work with Kevin, and he does a great job. And if you need anything else on the digital marketing consulting support, reach out to us as well, wsidigitalboost.com, or email me directly, gkerik@wsidigitalboost.com, and I'll be happy to share my thoughts, my advice. We're doing complimentary brainstorms with people that just want to go through their current situation and figure out what the next steps are for their business. We're just trying to, the only thing that we have for free is our gray matter, and we're putting it out for service. Okay. So thank you so much, Kevin. I really enjoyed this. Stay safe.
You too.
Okay. Stay safe. And I'm sure we will continue talking.
Thank you. And you as well.
Thank you so much, everybody. Bye-bye.